and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump delays some tariffs on Mexico and Canada to April 2nd. On a phone call today with President Trump, Mexico's president said he changed his mind on tariffs after she shared some good news or good results against fentanyl trafficking. More from CBS's Adrian Bard.
Estamos teniendo resultados, Presidente Trump.
Citing a drastic reduction in fentanyl trafficking, Mexico's president convinced President Trump to postpone tariffs. She shared U.S. Border Patrol data showing much less fentanyl entered the U.S. in February. The Mexican leader described the talk as very cordial, but asked rhetorically,
pues ¿cómo vamos a seguir?
Why Mexico would cooperate in the face of measures so damaging to its people. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Canada welcomed the tariffs delay, but Ontario, Canada will keep some of its tariffs in place. President Trump's planned executive order to start dismantling the Department of Education has been postponed. But the expectation remains that what he said he would do during the campaign will be attempted by Education Secretary Linda McMahon. New York Governor Kathy Hochul tells education leaders in her state,
he picked a pro wrestling mogul who is in the process of body slamming our Department of Education. So what does that mean for a place like New York? $5 billion in cuts?
Since last Friday's Oval Office blow-up, Ukraine's President Zelensky has been courting European leaders for help in the war against Russia. Today, he met with European Union representatives. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
27 members of the EU at least promised to fill that void that would see these partners, these individual countries, increase their military spending by loosening restrictions. So in theory, that would loosen up like $700 billion, which would dwarf any contribution that the United States has made.
SpaceX has launched another mammoth Starship rocket, but lost contact minutes into the test flight. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez in Miami was among those who caught on camera what looks like a fireball falling from the sky. Today's launch from Texas is the first for Starship since an explosion in January. A hospitalized Pope Francis issues an audio message to the faithful.
It's the first time we've heard from Pope Francis since he was hospitalized. But, of course, it's also a reflection of the toll that this illness has taken on him. You can hear the frailty in his voice after spending 3 weeks in the hospital for what started out as a bad case of bronchitis and has since devolved into double pneumonia.
That's Chris Livesay. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
The Bucks dominate Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks in Milwaukee by 30 points, 137 to 107. Damian Lillard with 34 points, Giannis with 32, now with a total 20,000 career points. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles battled but lost at UConn 72 to 66. Next, they host number 6th ranked St. John's on Saturday. Head coach Shaka Smart after the game.
I told the guys we don't have a lot of time to, you know, mope around and feel sorry for ourselves because we got another game on Saturday early. You know, I have a hard time flushing losses, but I have to lead the way for our team and set the example for that because Saturday's senior day.
The Badgers with a win at Minnesota 74 to 67. Wisconsin guard Jack Janecki hustled but got banged in the mouth. Did he lose a tooth?
He looks like a hockey player right now, but it'll be fine. It's just a little chip.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders fans who are looking for closure from the upcoming Peaky Blinders movie will not get it. Franchise creator Stephen Knight says Peaky Blinders will continue after the movie has been released, but was not specific as to whether it would be TV or film. In the upcoming movie, the Peaky Blinders gang does battle with Nazis. Netflix has not yet given a release date for the Peaky Blinders movie. Typically, when someone writes a movie, they are looking for creative and ideally financial gain. Rarely does citizenship come into play as a reward, but it did for Jesse Eisenberg. Eisenberg, the writer of the movie A Real Pain. The Polish government granted Jesse citizenship for writing the film set in Poland, for which he was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Screenplay. Nice to have a place to weekend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, lows in the mid-teens. Clouds tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny for the afternoon and highs in the upper 30s. Even warmer temperatures for the weekend and into next week, highs climbing through the 40s, even some 50s. Right now it's 33.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. That is coming your way. Also, Pete Schwabe from Nightlight will join us to talk about the killer flaw in that movie Green and Gold. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jacob. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show as usual, and a good big shout-out to Haley for doing her producer work, and I really appreciate her. And it's been, we're celebrating now 2 days after her birthday, so we're really happy that you're here with us, Haley. A happy 2 days after your birthday.
Thank you, Dega. I hear a little bit of echoing on my end. Hopefully you're not hearing that on yours.
I'm not, but, you know, I don't know. Things happen at the mother station and people playing with buttons and things, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but you sound good to me, and, geez, I always sound good in my headphones, but that's just me. Oh, hey, As you all know, I was a former high school teacher, 27 years in St. Paul Public Schools, and it's ironic too. We have a couple guests on today. One is later on is Barry Hand, and we worked together at Harding High School together, and he was a Lakota teacher, and he'll be on later. But today and right now, we have Heather Fahey, who's a friend of my wife's, and it's really a small world out there. And Heather's a registered pharmacist at M Healthcare and executive director of Indian Affairs is Shannon Gieschick, and she may be coming on soon too. We're going to talk about a very important thing coming up here. And Heather, I just want to give a big shout out and welcome you back to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Robert, and thank you for having me back on the show. I'm excited to talk about the powwow and stuff we have going on.
Right on. And I just got to ask you this, too, to let our audience know, what nation are you from, and do you have a name?
I'm from Tyendinaga, Mohawk territory, which is in southern Ontario.
Oh, wow. So we'll be worrying about tariffs with your people up there. And, you know, life goes on, and we won't talk about that. We want to talk about a celebration of somebody's life that I've worked with and that you know. And it's a great thing. I remember at his funeral, it was a huge funeral for him and John Boblink. And there was a lot of good words said. And also this powwow came about John Bobling's, because of John Bobling's death, but also because of the great things he's done for many, many years for the St. Paul School District.
Close partner of ours at mHealth Fairview. And one of my colleagues, Monique Nelson, had the idea for mHealth Fairview to co-host a powwow as really a way to build trust and connection with community. And I mean, it seems a little odd, right, to have a health system or hospital system hosting a powwow, but when Monique presented the idea to John, he was 100% all for it. Absolutely no judgment, no like side eye. He just was like, yeah, that's a great idea. We should do that. And so he's a huge, huge reason why we are now actually on our second annual powwow.
That's awesome. And the powwow is going to be on Sunday, March 9th, and it's honoring John Bobling Powwow, Healing in Four Directions, and it'll be at Johnson High School, which is 1349 Arcade Street in St. Paul. And, you know, I always have to say the story that we talk about John and I, he was a head of Indian Ed, and I was on the parent committee, and we all were there for the same reason. And, you know, John was a level-headed voice of reason, and totally going to miss him. We are missing him, and he was always there for the students. And I know in my experiences, if something happened, it would he would be there on the spot immediately advocating for our students.
Yeah, I mean, I really just got the opportunity to work with him through my work with mHealth Fairview, and really very briefly with my own kids. I have little kids that are in the Indian Ed program, but I think, you know, what you said is exactly correct. Like his work was always about the kids, the youth. And I think he one of the reasons why he really did support this powwow going forward, is because it is a good way, you know, like I said before, to hopefully build some bridges, but, you know, if we're connecting our health care and our healthcare community to our Native community, that is one way that the youth might be able to see themselves in the future as well. Particularly in my own personal opinion, if you have, you know, Native physicians, Native pharmacists, Native nurses, who are there because they work for the health system, and because they're part of the community. So I think it's a great way, you know, to kind of introduce healthcare careers to the community, and then to build that trust with community members. So I hope that, you know, we are doing good things in John's memory, and kind of standing up for what he stood up for his whole career.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we are, and to honor him, you know, it's an emotional thing because it's somebody that I worked with for many, many years, and I know the community really advocated to have John in his position and brought him in. And, you know, there's always ups and downs when it comes to organizations like this, but John was a steady rock for many years prior to being executive director, and then the years after he was executive director. I know what we should probably talk a little bit about too later on is some of the sponsors, MN Health, and maybe we can talk a little bit about a few of the sponsors that are really supporting this effort and get people out there and really powwow and do some intertribal in a good way. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've had some incredible partners. So again, you know, St. Paul Public School, Indian Ed. I think without them, without John's original support, we would probably not be doing this. Minnesota Indian Affairs Council has been a big partner for us. American Indian Family Center, American Indian Education from South St. Paul. Also this year we have Montessori American Indian Child Care Center. So all of these organizations, Department of Indian Work, all of these organizations coming together to make this happen has been really awesome.
Yeah, it has. And we're going to take a quick short break here. And this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Heather Fahey, and we're talking about the John Bobolink Memorial Powwow. And we're all excited to be there, honoring John Bobolink Powwow Healing in Four Directions. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Activism in the 21st century takes many forms. For Minnesota Chippewa artist Rory Wakeemup, it's Funktivism. He uses humor, satire, and regalia to challenge social and environmental injustice. Smart Wars is Wakeemup's latest solo exhibition. It's a bold mix of Indigenous heritage with modern commentary. Through his multimedia art, Wakeemup challenges perceptions and sparks conversations about Native resilience, climate action, and truth-telling. See Smart Wars at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis, February 27th through April 5th. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. And we're back now on Native Roots Radio with our guest, Heather Miracle Fahey, who is a registered pharmacist with M Health Fairview. And we're here talking about the John Bobolink Powwow coming up this Sunday, I believe, at Johnson Senior High School. We're excited about it. It's going to have a bunch of vendors to come support Native artists and watch the dancers as well.
Hey, yeah, welcome back. How do I sound, Haley?
Pretty good.
Do I sound taller?
I don't know about that.
I was sitting up a little bit here and hoping that I sound a little better. Hey, again, thanks for the intro here. I had to switch out a couple things here. And I'm back. So the grand entry starts at 1 p.m., feast at 6 p.m., and, you know, I like my food. And then, again, it's located at Johnson High School in St. Paul, 1349 Arcade Avenue. And a lot of great sponsors and people supporting this this powwow, Heather. And I'm excited. One of the things, too, that it's been fun over the years to run into you and your people tabling at a lot of powwows, and it's always seems like you must be giving away money or something, because you always have a big line of people in front of your booth.
I wish I had money to give away. Yeah, no, it kind of depends on the event and the day, but we do blood pressure checks. You know, as you mentioned, I'm a pharmacist, so we have kind of ask the pharmacist questions. If people have questions about medications that they're taking or just questions in general. And then we oftentimes will partner with our, we have a mobile nursing unit who comes and offers vaccines on site. So it kind of depends on, you know, the season and what vaccines are available or what is needed in community at that time. But yeah, I mean, we try to just have information that's relevant, helpful, health related. We do always try to have good giveaways. A little counterintuitively, we always have candy. But it draws people in, it draws the kids in for sure. But otherwise, we do try to give away stuff that's health related. We've done like a vegetable peeler in the past, like a handheld vegetable peeler and first aid kits, chapstick, Band-Aids, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and it's always busy. People too are, and it's kind of a thing maybe we talked a little bit about before the show is that, you know, a lot of Native people find it difficult to reach out to the medical field. And it's a thing that's a little frightening too. I remember when my wife was working in the infectious disease and clinic, and she would see somebody that was Native American, and she would say, you know, ask what nation they're from. And then you could see they'd get less defensive. And then she would say, my husband's Ho-Chunk, and it would knock down walls. And I'm sure you run into that too when you're able to talk about your background or who you are, and there'll be more of a trust value in that, you know, you look like people that you're serving, and knock down the trust, or, you know, have the trust of Native people because you understand and are part of the community.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it makes a difference. You know, I think that the health system in general, like, this was not a system that traditionally was built for us. And it can feel really inaccessible. You know, there's a lot of steps that people have to go to take to just even to schedule an appointment. So even just getting in the door, like the steps that's required to do that, you know, it's not like you can just walk up to the table and ask your question. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like you said, it kind of it breaks down a barrier when you can have somebody in that position that you already have at least some level of comfort or shared experience with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's something that, like, I'm really trying to work on. You know, a couple years ago, even, you know, I have little kids, and bringing my kids to the doctor, like, you go in and you fill out the papers and they ask you the questions about, you know, your ethnicity and where you live and your phone number. And at the time, they didn't even have a box for Native American. Like, mm-hmm. they had all these other countries and there was not even a box for the original people of this land. And I complained about it, and I, you know, we've changed it because mm-hmm. it's like, how is this possible that I can show up to my own doctor's appointment and not have a box where I can check off who I am? So yeah, like, just those little things, like, we're trying to address those types of things so that people can fill, if they want to, right, fill out who they are and where they're from. And you know, we have more than just three boxes for, you know, spirituality and religious beliefs and things like that. And it's helpful to know those things going in. And then it's, I think, equally as helpful from a patient perspective to walk in the door and see someone that, you know, that there's just that shared level of comfort with.
Well, I'm excited that you are in the field, you know, a Native American, and we need more Native Americans in science and to really, you know, take care of our families. And so it's really cool to see that you're there. You know, when you were first in school, were there any other Native pharmacists are going through that track?
Not that I know of. I do remember when I started, we got, you know, information about the demographics of our incoming class. And it said that there were three Native students in my incoming class. So I do remember like getting in there and being like, okay, you know, where are these Native kids at? And that, like, to this day, I don't know if there really were two other ones. Yeah, it was, I was fortunate enough to be connected. You know, one of my mentors was Joni Buffalohead, who she was not in the pharmacy, like the PharmD program, but she was in the social administrative PhD program. And so I was lucky enough to be connected with her during, during pharmacy school. And that's been a connection that has helped me throughout my career that I still have today. So I do feel like that connection, even if just with one other Native person, is hugely important. And there's work being done now too, to help support, you know, our Native students in med school and pharmacy school. Cause there's not a ton of us, but, it is nice when we know that each other are there.
Absolutely. And I know, during COVID we had a special show that, we called, Native Format, or that was on Sundays, and it was just on Facebook and YouTube, and we had a big audience. But we had the Native American doctor for Navajo Nation, and she was the only Native. And it was so funny too, because Ruth Anna Buffalo got her for us, and they went to school, they played basketball together. But it, just to have that weight on your shoulder and being the only one is sometimes really daunting. And I know it was for her because of what was going on at the time. And we didn't, there was no vaccine. People were, you know, taking their clothes off at the door. They didn't know how it was spread. It was crazy times, but, it's gotta be daunting for you sometimes too, to be the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I think yes. And I will also say that I've gotten a lot of support. I think kind of, especially as I've started to figure out how do I want to give back to the community and how can I do that from my position in the health system. And the system itself has given me a lot of support to do that, which honestly, like right now in these political times, is really, it matters. And I'm really grateful that they're not letting up on any type of diversity or equity or inclusion mm-hmm. type of efforts, because we need to bring a voice to a lot of our issues, and the system has been really supportive of doing that. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we're here, you know, with Heather Fahey, registered pharmacist with M Health Fairview, and we're talking about this upcoming Sunday, March 9th, honoring John Bomlink, Powwow Healing in Four Directions. I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, it's hard to talk about a friend of ours, but it's good that we're celebrating him because he did so many good things, like being able to wear eagle feathers, be able to smudge in St. Paul in the classrooms. And I know personally that he was a great advocate for our students, and he'll be always remembered in a good way. So, Heather, thank you for being a big part of that and letting our audience know about this important event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, like he's just really serving as an example for even myself in other systems, right? He was that person in education, and now we can take his example into healthcare.
Right on. Hey, Heather, we'll see you Sunday. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Native Roots Radio will be right back after this short message. Stay with us. Haley, stay with us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump pauses tariffs for Canada and Mexico on items that comply with the 2018 trade agreement. It comes a day after he gave a month at least until implementing the tariffs on automaking. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
If there are purchases that you are thinking about making, like a car that is from one of those three automakers, this is a time to say, okay, maybe this is the time to pull the trigger.
At some point, President Trump is expected to sign an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
President Trump says this is all about sending the power back to the states so they can make their own decisions about education.
Elon Musk's SpaceX suffers another setback as its latest Starship test flight ends with an explosion. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It was the second Starship flight in a row to suffer a catastrophic failure. And the Federal Aviation Administration will no doubt order another failure investigation to figure out what went wrong.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks dominate Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks in Milwaukee by 30 points, 137-107. Damian Lillard with 34 points, Giannis with 32, now with a total 20,000 career points. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles battled but lost at UConn 72-66. Next, they host number 6th-ranked St. John's on Saturday. Head coach Shaka Smart after the game.
I told the guys we don't have a lot of time to, mope around and feel sorry for ourselves because we got another game on Saturday early. I have a hard time flushing losses, but I have to lead the way for our team and set the example for that because Saturday's senior day.
The Badgers with a win in Minnesota 74-67. Wisconsin guard Jack Janicki hustled but got banged in the mouth. Did he lose a tooth?
He looks like a hockey player right now, but it'll be fine. It's just a little chip.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Keanu Reeves says John Wick 5 might not happen. The actor spoke to Extra and said that John Wick 4 didn't leave much room for a John Wick 5, which is an understatement because John Wick died in Chapter 4. Reeves said the role is very physically and mentally demanding, but also said, never say never. Translation, I want a lot of money to do John Wick 5. Ione Skye, who starred opposite John Cusack in 1989's Say Anything, has a new memoir out called Say Everything. In the book, Skye says she and Cusack had sex, but not while filming the movie. Skye says it was years later that they reconnected and wanted to see if on-screen chemistry could be found off-screen, adding it was something she needed to get out of her system. Skye wanted to clarify that the hookup with Cusack happened after she divorced Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz. Skye also said in the book that it was when she was married to Horowitz that she discovered she likes women. That'll pump a guy full of confidence. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, lows in the mid-teens. Clouds tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny for the afternoon, and highs in the upper 30s. Even warmer temperatures for the weekend and into next week, highs climbing through the 40s, even some 50s.
Right now it's 31.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a bar band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here, Haley and I, talking over things, waiting for our guests to jump on. You know, sometimes, Haley, when you have a Native American radio show, people are on Indian time and maybe in a different zip code or timeline or something. But it's nervous. You know, I haven't, my beard is totally gray where my hair is dark, and I don't dye my hair. But I think, you know, from worrying on the radio show and worried about my kids and worried about you, Haley, I got a gray beard.
You know, I was noticing a couple of white strands in my hair, too, and I'm only 27. So I don't know what that says about
Well, I'll tell you what it says. You've been on the radio for 2 years. That's what it says.
Apparently. Well, Heather did a great job as always. I was hoping to hear from Shannon, but shout out. Hopefully we can get Shannon on again too. With the things Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I've heard great things about them.
She's big time. She's kind of helps with, and I don't know how she helps, but she runs. I don't want to say runs, but
I think
facilitates
she's executive director.
Facilitates the other 11 tribes. And got to be like herding kittens sometimes.
Probably, yeah. kittens is a nice way to describe it.
We talk about boycotts here. We talk about, you know, resisting and things like that. And I know there's another boycott towards our friends from Target. And it's faith leaders are calling on shoppers to divert their spending from Target to Black-owned businesses during Lent. And so that's a 40-day Target boycott again. And they got really hit hard when they changed their DEI outlook. And it's really funny, too, because I was looking at who gave a lot of money to the Republicans, and Target wasn't one of them. So it's very confusing, and I think, like our friend Arvina said, it's very confusing because they've supported, you know, like Pride here in the Twin Cities. They were big-time supporters of that, and so it was very confusing that they dropped a DEI. And I really think, too, that we should call DEI Diversity, Equity, Inclusion instead of the short DEI, because it's more powerful in its name. It's diversity, it's equity, and inclusion. What are wrong with those things?
Isn't there like a DEIA? They're supposed to be at the A too at the end, and then people always forget about that.
I don't know. Is that a TV show?
I think it's like accessibility or something. But yeah, that they leave off that A because they're scrubbing all the websites with the information that include the words diversity, inclusion, and equity as well. So any website that has, you know, is talking about any of those things are also being taken down too. And like you mentioned, Arvina too, it's not only confusing that Target went this route, but it's disappointing because I remember when Target would pick certain underserved community organizations and nonprofits, and you could like go on your Target app and vote for them. Community members could vote and it would raise money towards those organizations. So this is really just kind of really backwards about how they've, you know, portrayed themselves over the years.
Well, and there's a lot of other companies that have not gone that route. So there's people speaking about supporting these companies that are still, you know, training, you know, in diversity and equity and inclusion. So there is that right there. It's crazy, too. It's interesting too, and I'm going kind of bouncing back and forth right now, Haley. You know, I don't know, it's my radio ADHD, but it's just, you know, I know you didn't watch the Orange One's speech, but it was just crazy, you know, that, you know, the Trump, you know, administration they used a child who survived cancer And that was after cutting funds for cancer research that, you know, really that saved his life. So we're in this really upside down world when it comes to lying. And it's just, I've never seen anything like this. And I can't imagine a Gen Zer like yourself going, what in the heck is going on?
Yeah, thinking a little bit more than that, but yeah, I don't even know where to get into it because
you don't have
my own mental health. I have not been able to watch a lot of that.
Well, I want to give a shout out to change gears a little bit. You know, this was on the Indigenous Protectors Movement page, and last night I saw this on the news. They're at a gathering of strength and love and resilience at a prayer circle and vigil for Allison Lissar. And we've talked about, I've heard about her in the community, and it was under the bridge outside the apartment where her life was taken. And they stood there together in honor for Allison's life and demanded justice and discussed independent investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department. And what that means really quick is that after this death, really the police did not investigate anymore. Mm-hmm. And not that the police were involved in this murder, and they pretty much know who did it. And the police have just dropped the ball and moved on. And so now there's going to be an independent investigation into the Minneapolis Police Department's investigation. So that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And that's another Native American that was murdered and that was just swept aside and, you know, and not counted as human. You know, when we fight and talk about things here on Native Roots Radio, and even way before that, it's just talking about humanity and we're people and we do matter and we are human beings and we bleed just like everybody else. And there's some, you know, facets of the communities that don't believe that and never have. And so it's good that they kept pushing forward on this and that things are happening. And I saw it on mainstream news too. So it got coverage too, which is good and surprising at the same time.
Yeah. If you want to, I texted you too, if you want to look at your phone quick. Thanks for bringing up MMIR. That's the thing we talk about a lot here on Native Roots Radio. We like to bring awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and definitely, we're very familiar with that, especially here in the Twin Cities. Also, you mentioned a lot of the mainstream media doesn't cover when Native girls go missing like they would a white girl with blue hair, with blue eyes and blonde hair. You know, like the national, well, really worldwide coverage that Gabby Petito got, but this is a story that hasn't really been covered at all. The only reason I know about it is because we're so tuned into our Native communities around Turtle Island. But I want to bring up Emily Pike out of Arizona. Emily Pike, it was a 14-year-old girl of the San Carlos Apache tribe who was brutally murdered this past week. Her body was found in garbage bags, dismembered. And from what I saw, too, I don't think the family was properly notified in a respectful way before that hit local stations down in Arizona. So our heart is just really hurting. You know, Emily Pike was, she was a child, really. You know, she was 14 years old. You know, she deserved to see her 15th birthday. She deserved to continue to paint and create art, and she deserved to go to the school that she wanted to go to and grow up, and she deserved to chase her dreams, and she deserved to become a Native matriarch. And, you know, this is just something we deal with so often. And I know we'll keep talking about that and how to help Emily's family. But yeah, if you have any information about that, you can reach out to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, also the San Carlos Apache Tribal Police Detective. But yeah, wanted to say Emily Pike's name and bring awareness to that.
Hey, we have our friend Barry Hand here, and let's add him to the show here. And Barry, welcome to Native Roots Radio. Come in, Barry. You know, I think the snow really did some numbers on our technology here, and that's why I don't trust technology.
Haley. No. Oh, there. Oh,
there's Barry. Looks like he's driving down the freeway.
I want to apologize. I had a senior moment. I had my whole thing set up to chime in with you guys, but we started tapping trees, and I was sitting there, and I said, oh, I better go up to the buckets. So, and then I just got a call. I apologize.
So where are you tapping these trees? And I want some syrup this time, dang it.
Well, I tell you what, we have a wonderful coworker who lives out in Minnetonka, and they have a whole bunch of big sugar maples. And usually I do it on public land. Every once in a while, you'll find some surprises in your kettles. And so this way, at least with private property, you're able to kind of internalizes your bucket, so to speak.
looks like you're under the Lindell Bridge there. We're having trouble with you with your connection right now. But we want to talk a little bit about the organization that you're with and what's going on and how the dugout's going.
Yeah, so we've been working on, so it's actually Wakuntipia Wyankapi's program, and I'm attached to it. It's kind of a junior woodchuck, so to speak. Wakuntipia Wyankapi, they're building a new building, first new building kind of for us, by us, in St. Paul. We got a couple other things that Andy Young put up on University Avenue, doing some real good work there, in cooperation with PPL. But this one is kind of for the community. And part of that capital campaign, the four Dakota communities came together and supported that in various ways, sometimes financially, sometimes with just letters of support. And so their organization, headed up by Maggie Lorenz, is gifting each four community with a dugout canoe. So there was three that are being made, and the contractor came under the weather, and so there was a fourth one that needed to be made. So we had to get a hold of some folks to get this canoe built in about a two-month time frame. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Bark Lodges down at Prairie Island. We brought those back about 4 years ago, and we reached out to the group, Great Lakes Lifeways Institute, Kevin Finney and Keisha Beloach, say, hey, can you help us with a dugout? And they said, yeah. You know, and the funny thing is they said, we'll do a dugout. We assumed they would make the dugout in the privacy of their own garage or whatever, and they said, no, we'll do a dugout, but we want to make sure that the community's involved with making the dugout.
Right on.
And
hey,
so
Barry.
We're
going to take a break here. We got to pay the bills. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Barry Hand, and we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Have you considered a career in the museum field? The Minnesota Historical Society is now accepting applications for its Native American Museum Fellowship. The 10-week summer program is a mix of workshops, seminars, and hands-on internships at the Minnesota Historical Society. It is open to undergraduate students, recent graduates, and community scholars with an interest in museums and heritage studies. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NAI.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh! Hey, cool. We have our friend Barry Hand on, and Barry, before we get into talking more about I want to just mention the fact, okay, the show, Native Roots Radio has been on, this is our ninth year, and you were originally one of the original hosts, going to be one of the original hosts of this show.
I was?
Yeah.
Well, I remember we talked about doing a pirate radio to kind of rage against the machine a little bit. You know, kind of that whole Gen X, I got a problem with authority. And then where I was going in it from a little bit more of a crusty kind of way, you went super sophisticated and did some really awesome work. And now you're all over the place getting syndicated. I like to think I was your beautiful muse.
Well, you all, not only were my beautiful muse, but you helped name the show. I don't know if you remember that, too.
I don't remember that, but thanks for giving me. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I know you have a good memory, but it's short. But I remember that, and I just want to give you a quick shout-out, too, about how important you are to me and the radio show and in the Native community. So let's talk a little bit more about we were getting into the canoe digging and what that has to do with. And I know us as Ho-Chunk, Haley and I, we're ready to dig our own here in the cities and race you. Oh, wow.
Well, here's the thing I'll tell you. First of all, hats off to Ho-Chunk Nation, Bill Quackenbush, and the work that they did last year with bringing that dugout on the river. We're also kind of leaning on the work that Matt Pendleton and the Lower Sioux community did. We have a partnership with the Wamaneomene Kodiapi and Minneapolis Park Board. So if you want to harvest trees for the dugouts, Minneapolis Park Board says that they will help us harvest those trees. Usually they're trees. So, for instance, the species and the size, if they're going to be taking a tree down, a lot of times the park boards for the St. Paul, Minneapolis, those just get chipped out into wood chips. Mm. And we have the opportunity then to make those dugouts.
Wow.
Some of the things that have come up as possible things, you know, basically reclaiming the riverways. Mm-hmm. Those are our highways. And so there's been talks about doing some unity paddles, some competitions. I know at Bede Makoska, they have the events where they bring the canoes out. But at some point, you know, the old timers used to say we didn't need to go to Walmart to get everything. The earth provided everything we needed. And so wouldn't it be nice to see some dugouts and birch bark canoes in our waterways and actually not being used as a piece to look at, but something that we use?
Mm. Well, that's a great idea. And Haley, you have a big garage, so I think the next canoe that we Ho-Chunk we make, we're going to make it in your garage.
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty full now with Dad's new race car. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe
what
somewhere
kind of
else.
Race car does Dad have?
Oh, he got himself his dream Dodge Charger Scat Pack, all fancy.
Wow, I endorse that purchase 100%.
I'll tell him.
Well, he listens to the show every day, doesn't he?
Oh, of course.
Right on, right on. So tell us some more, Barry. We got a couple more minutes last segment here. And I, by seeing where you're driving right now, I can tell you're passing up my house. So give me a big wave off the freeway there.
Well, I'm over here right now by Hopkins Crossroad.
Oh,
so I'm on the other end. I'm still heading out to get that sap, man. I'm like Mr. Incredible right now. I'm getting stretched in all kinds of different places, you know, trying to be everywhere at once. But, you know, we're doing at Wamaneomene Kodiapi, what we are really trying to do, our main mission is to restore that site. 5 acres, and then we'll be restoring 3 acres with the park board. So altogether, it'll be a total of 8 acres where you're going to be seeing some tall grass prairie right in downtown Minneapolis. Wow. If you ever want to know what that might look like on the river in kind of a cityscape, a couple places you can look is Mississippi North Regional Park off of 49th. And, of course, Bruce Fennell, Wakuntipi. That area is where he has some good prairie restoration. Problem with Wakuntipi is you got Warner Road in between the river and the site. Ours will be connected right to the river. So we do want to kind of bring back our plant relatives and, you know, support our those other the flyers and whatnot and the fish, and bring back a little bit of that tall grass prairie, because it's going to benefit the land. And right now, we've got to do kind of work overtime a little bit, because whenever you're in these industrial areas, you're looking at a lot of pollution from many years of being abused. So hopefully by next year, this time, we've already had our round one of planning for our prairie. The thing about a tall grass prairie is it takes about 5 to 6 years to establish. And so even though we'll have that planning done, it's going to take a while. Real quick, we are hoping that the Ford Dakota communities, we're going to take donations from their prairie restoration, create these mother gardens. So that's another exciting thing, where we have these spots where the prairie kind of grows out from those mother gardens, coming from places like Prairie Island, Shakopee, Lower Sioux, and Upper Sioux.
Wow, that's exciting. To talk about the prairie grass, what else is in there? Is it pretty much just the prairie grass, or there's flowers in there? Is there
dozens and dozens of different plants? It was one of the most diverse biomes we had in the state, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa. It's the most endangered biome in the state is tall grass prairie and the bluff prairies. And so when we say grasses, that's any number of blue stem, whether it's side oats, grama, you're going to have your echinaceas, you're going to have your wild bergamot. There's so many cardinal flower. So a lot of times when you think about, like, in the cities on the boulevards, it's really popular to have a pollinator garden. Basically, yeah. A tall grass prairie is a pollinator garden. Even the grasses have flowers. They're just really small. And so if you can imagine those pollinator gardens, but bigger, that's what we're shooting for. Dozens and dozens of species, a lot of biodiversity within a small area.
I remember years ago you telling me that a flower or a plant that comes out of the ground, if it's a square and not rounded, if it's square, a lot of times that's medicine. That's a way to find out that it's medicine.
So that's the mint family. A lot of your mints will have a square stem. It'll feel like a square. So you could have peppermint, spearmint, bergamot, catnip's a mint. So if it has a square stem, it's in the mint family. And almost all of those mint family of plants are medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's traditional medicine here in North America and throughout the northern hemispheres of the world.
See, Barry, I do listen to you.
I'm really proud of you. and I should have said handsome instead of beautiful, but when I was your muse for the radio station.
Right.
And I'm so glad that Miss Cherry's keeping you in line, because it sounds like, you know, you're like me. You can go off the rails pretty easy. So you're lucky to have her on staff.
No doubt. And it's celebrating 2 years with her very soon. And also, she just had a birthday a couple days ago. So it's just amazing to have Haley with us. Barry, we only got less than a minute left. Can you give us a Facebook or a website of how people can keep in touch with you, or what's going on with your organization?
So Owamaniomania Kodiapi, you can find us at
locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health and athletes, and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 p.m.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has again pulled back on tariffs he imposed on Canada and Mexico. He's holding off until April 2nd with the 25% levy on imported goods that comply with a 2018 trade agreement. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
These have direct impact on auto workers, on the providers, the contractors, the private companies that help serve the automakers, and, oh, by the way, the auto workers.
A setback for Elon Musk's SpaceX Starship vehicle after being launched in Texas. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
The rocket then flew out of control and broke up in a shower of debris that was captured by spectators as far away as Cape Canaveral.
Cuts by DOGE have affected at least 18 federal departments and agencies. Big cuts are expected at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Combat Army veteran Rob Hamm is concerned.
We should rise together. When we as a country send people to war, we have a sacred obligation to take care of them when they come home.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host.